The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host, and today I'm delighted to welcome back my good friend, Dr. Eric Karlstrom, who's been with me from almost the beginning. Let's bring him up right now. Eric, are you with us?
Yeah, greetings, Andy. It's great to be continuing our five-year conversation here across the pond. I think we're up to 64 shows, something like that this time. Maybe 63. I have to look and check. But yes, we have covered the waterfront with important issues, trying to get the to educate the populations, our countries, and others with our citizenries with the facts, which I'm afraid we're living in this matrix of lies, which has just come down around us. I think maybe our two best strategies are to combat the facts or the lies with the truth, and to build up our own spiritual armor. I think that two-pronged approach is our very best approach. I've put out, since I retired from a 30-year teaching career where I taught at three universities, I taught physical geography. I've maintained five websites, and I'll just rattle them off here. The one we've talked about recently is gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which has now got over 1,800 posts, and it turned into the biggest of all my educational sites. Also 911nwo.com, also free information for the public. Also naturalclimatechange.org, the same, and San Luis Valley Waterwatch.com. And finally, my music website is erickarlstrom.com, which features my most recent effort, which is the Lifeline Project, or Lifeline Essential Insights and Healing Music for Illegally Targeted Citizens. So really, we've been talking about this quote-unquote gang stalking program, which turns out to be the new form of unconventional warfare against dissidents and whoever the governments of the world want to target for whatever reasons, for experimentation, medical experimentation, for weapons testing of exotic directed energy weapons, neuroweapons, etc. And, to kind of police their nation so that nobody gets out of line, nobody comes up with ideas that might form a social movement which would affect the elite's total control. So we're in this total surveillance, full spectrum surveillance, full spectrum dominance world now. The United States and the UK very much are joined here. Of course, Israel as well, policing the world now and bringing us into their new world order, which we have identified, of course, as really a satanic new world order. The synagogue of Satan is the driving force, and we have to, as individuals, then somehow protect ourselves, respond, try to inform each other, and pray to God and keep rowing to shore. But last couple times we talked about gang stalking in the movies, and we could keep going with that one, but I thought it would be great to talk about a book that I've just been rereading by one of the most educated and knowledgeable of all the quote-unquote targeted individuals, Dr. Rauni Liina Luukkonen Kilde, who was born in Finland and became the chief medical officer of Northern Finland or Lapland. And in that, and then in 19, she was very interested in many subjects, obviously a brilliant woman. This book is in English, but she knows five other languages, and English is her sixth language, so it's a little awkward English sometimes. But she's a, you know, one of my heroes. She was always interested in many subjects, including parapsychology, and got into military mind control and writing papers about that over 20 years ago. And herself, I think she was targeted in 1975 or so when she initially targeted when 1975 when she went to a conference on UFOs. And she and I differ on a few points. She's into reincarnation and UFOs, and she may know a lot about UFOs that I don't know. I just haven't gone in that direction yet because it's such a discrediting thing. But she was targeted for 40 years and tortured with these technologies and with the gang stalking protocols, and then succumbed, I think, to their directed energy weapon, exotic weapon attacks with a heart attack in 2015. This book that I'm looking at, Bright Light on Black Shadows by Dr. Rauni Liina Luukkonen Kilde, mostly is about this gang stalking targeted individual phenomenon, which is just, you know, a wealth of information. But she's also got a lot of information about the medical side, including the H1N1 vaccine pandemic and the role of the World Health Organization and their plans at that time to depopulate the planet. And that didn't go as planned, but she gives the whole plot of what happened with the H1N1 vaccine, what's in it, et cetera. So I thought it might be useful to go through some of her extremely detailed, accurate medical information. Again, this woman was the chief medical officer of Northern Lapland. She had many advanced degrees in medicine, including tropical medicine. And her husband was the UN ambassador from Norway. So she was an insider. She went to political and scientific meetings, some of which were classified, some of which are open, all her life. And she paid, of course, with her life. But she has been an inspiration to many, many targeted individuals because of her courage and her knowledge and her refusal to submit to the New World Order torture. So I've rattled a bit. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Eric. And Dr. Rauni Kildare, is that spelled R-O-N-N-Y, Rauni?
No, it's R-A-U-N-I. This is the language is Finnish, which is a genetic isolate, as you may know. It's, you know, like the Basques. It doesn't seem to be related to most other Indo-European language groups. So it's Rauni. You often pronounce Rauni, but Rauni Liina Luukkonen Kilde, K-I-L-D-E. I think we can stick with Rauni Kilde.
Oh, I've got it now. Yeah, I was trying to look it up and kept trying with Dr. Kildare TV series. And of course, I mean, you know that they're probably right. Trying to stop us getting there. But yeah, Kilde is spelled K-I-L-D-E. So folks, it's R-A-U-N-I-K-I-L-D-E. And Eric and I were talking about this before the show. And what's fascinating for me, we may get to this later in the show if we have time. And that was the infamous Jesse Ventura clip on the tarmac with that woman back in, whenever it was. I think it was 2009 on his conspiracy theory show, talking about how there's going to be a great culling. And some very famous woman that wasn't the Queen of England, but you'd all know her, had been telling her about it. And she wouldn't reveal the name. And of course, now I've played that before on the show, but this sounds something similar, that this Dr. Rauni Kilde, that you could look up, she was talking about that this was in the planning for the H1N1 situation. They were going to do a vaccine to depopulate the world. So this should give you an example of what's going on with this fake vaccine now. It is fake because it's not a vaccine. It doesn't inoculate you against a disease. You can still get it. So it's a fake vaccine. So what did Dr. Kilder have to say about what they had planned under the H1N1? Eric, back to you.
Okay, so she's quoting right here on page 99, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, who revealed that the swine flu hoax in the mass media was extreme fear-mongering and was arranged by the David Rockefeller Trust in New York and media moguls like Rupert Murdoch and Reuters' Tom Glotcher and others belonged to this trust, and that the goal was to arrange hysteria and fear in the mass media to get everybody vaccinated, microchipped, and sterilized, which was the goal. And the WHO, which, of course, the UN World Health Organization, was informed in the summer of 2009 that no laboratory tests were needed. Thus, any disease or flu could be diagnosed as swine flu, false labeling to increase the numbers. That sounds a little familiar. And by the way, in 2005, she notes that there was a big change in policy with the WHO, and they made a new ruling, I guess out of the UN, that if the world is threatened by a severe pandemic, who can give orders to member nations, and which is 193, I think, something like that, out of 195. And she said this was part of a long-term planning to put nations under WHO health control. And she says they're still trying to do this. This is she wrote this in 2015. And she said, Big Pharma is, of course, behind the pressure to sell more and more drugs and vaccines globally. So the whole scenario with the COVID, which was not around, of course, when she wrote this, was actually developed and tried with the H1N1 vaccine. Here's a little more information about that. She says, why was it important to falsify statistics for a very mild flu, milder than normal fall flu? Well, a year later, March 2010, Dr. Kei Fukuda, flu chief for WHO, stated that WHO still keeps level 6 pandemic, which allows WHO control of health and police services of 193 countries under pretext of managing a pandemic threat. According to the EU, no pandemic vaccination was ever necessary. Increasingly, the London Evening Standard of October 23, 2009, cited Dr. Fukuda saying, vaccine to swine flu may be unsafe and European medicine agencies bypass large human trials untested. Everyone who took the vaccine is a guinea pig, not knowing the real contents of the vaccine, which is revealed only to the researchers. So again, so many elements of the COVID are identical to what she's talking about here. And then she's talking about the long-term effects. Doctors and nurses in the field always get different information than researchers from medical firms. There are two different papers about contents, so deliberate confusion. The general public is kept uninformed of serious health consequences of the vaccine in short-term and long-term effects. They may show up years later, like narcolepsy in children and behavior modification by mind control when vaccines contain a microchip, or I'll add to this a self-assembling microchip, you know, such as with the nanotechnology, which is what is in the COVID vaccines. Shortly, and again, her language, this is her sixth language, so her writing is a little strange. The New World Order plans to reduce world population with H1N1 vaccine, but it didn't succeed. The virus probably developed in an American military laboratory, yup, check, since it contains swine virus, alive, bird virus, and 1918 Black Death epidemic human virus, which does not exist in nature. But something happened, probably a mutation in this bioweapon, again, bioweapon, check, same thing. Military laboratories have for decades tested and invented and piled different toxins and vaccines for the destruction of, quote, enemy, the enemy, which today seems to be the civilian population of all countries. See, she just nailed it here in 2015 before the COVID was rolled out. Catherine Austin Fitz, former advisor to the U.S. government and another one of my female heroes, said in her blog July 2009 that the goal of swine flu vaccine is depopulation. Ted Turner calls for 95% of the population reduction to 225 to 300 million worldwide. Later, he changed it to 2 billion. We are 7 billion on the earth today. Bill Gates, multimillionaire donor for vaccines, calls for population reduction through healthcare vaccines in a February 18, 2010 conference. None of the elite consider themselves and their families as expendable. They only want others eliminated, dead, or at least sterilized, forgetting totally that spiritual evolvement is the main goal for all people on planet Earth. She talks about that quite a bit. Back to you, Andy. Have you got a comment there?
Well, I'm just delighted that you found this material because, you know, this is another smoking gun, folks. I mean, if they're talking about this and this stuff was published long before we ever heard of COVID, you know, that wasn't till the end of 2019 and they started locking us down in the West around March of 2020 last year. And we're talking about information going back years. And exactly what's happening with this is what they wanted to roll out with that. Now, Dr. Lorraine Day said several times on my show that all these different so-called pandemics that they were rolling out was exercises to see where the holes were that needed to be filled. And so if they didn't have enough influence in a particular area, they would get the existing people out and put their own people in. And it sounds from this that they thought they had enough influence in the time of H1N1. They didn't, and so they had to go and reinforce the areas. And obviously it's taken them a while to do that, to actually roll out this end game on the population. And I feel, when you look at the elites and the way that they behave, that they always historically have overreacted. They're extreme paranoid schizophrenics. And I think that when we had the election of Trump and Brexit, it wasn't that affected them, because they know that they can control the outcomes of these events, which is why Brexit took years and years and it was in name only, and Donald Trump didn't do anything that he promised to do before he came to power, because they'll ultimately get control of these people. The worry that they have is through all their propaganda, they've not convince people to embrace their globalist ideology, and people are still looking for a more populist nationalistic ideology, and that is what scared them. And that's why I believe that their solution to this is to inject us with something that's going to do us harm. They could potentially control us with it. There's been different medical experts who've said it links in with 5G and they can control you. They admit themselves that it's a DNA RNA therapy, so it changes your DNA. The information is out there, and we also know it's killed thousands, if not millions, of people already, and certainly injured millions of people around the world, because in the UK we're up to 300 and, what did I give the figure on yesterday's show? 386,517 people injured in the UK, a country of 67 million people. So it's clear that it's killing and injuring people, yet all the mainstream, whether it be mainstream doctors, whether it be the mainstream media, whether it be the mainstream politicians, they're all running around telling you to get this vaccine. So personally, I think that when we get the power back, that these people who've tried to convince people to get this, these people are guilty of the deaths of the people who have died and the injuries of people who have died, and they need to be judged accordingly. Because they know, if I can find these figures out, it's off the government website. I didn't pull it off some so-called tinfoil hat. It's there, and it's their job to know. The mainstream media, that's their job to monitor all these things and report them. But they don't. Not only do they cover it up, but they actively promote people getting something. Aggressively, they promote people getting something that they well know has killed so many people and injured so many people, and it disgusts me. And that goes to show we don't have a government, we don't have a media, we don't have a police force looking after our interests. We are on our own. You know, the people are waiting for information. We're on our own. Back to you, Eric.
Yeah, we're run by a criminal syndicate, as you well know. And I was on the Jeff Rentz show last week, and I read a little short quote on the back of the book, Journey into Madness, The True Story of Secret CIA Mind Control and Medical Abuse. And it says, and he, of course, documents this, as do many other excellent books, since the 1950s, doctors in both East and West, so right there, China, Russia, United States, Britain, France, etc., have ignored the sacred oaths of their profession and helped in government-sponsored research into methods of medical torture and mind control. Absolutely, you're right. These people need to be held accountable. And then, of course, this story focuses on Dr. Ewan Cameron and his horrific, quote-unquote, experiment at McGill University in Canada. And he's from Scotland, and he... this man was head of the World Psychiatric Association, head of the World Psychological Association, head of the Psychological Association or Psychiatric Association and Canadian Psychiatric Association. So the man was hoping for a Nobel Peace Prize or a Nobel Prize for the work of erasing the minds of the patterns, he called it depatterning, of his patients, and he took patients, who went to him for legitimate, often small problems, and he put them through all kinds of torture, electroconvulsive therapy, you know, far in excess of what's called for in even the most liberal circles, and LSD and all kinds of drugs and sleep deprivation and doping for sleeping for months. And he actually succeeded in erasing the minds of some of his patients. And then the idea of the next part was psychic driving or repatterning. So what they wanted to do and what they wanted to do all this time, 1950s, is turn humans into slaves, biorobot slaves. And of course, this is the bottom line with the quote-unquote gang-stalking, electronic torture, medical experimentation. They want to take people that might criticize government or anybody and then turn them into their slaves. They're Manchurian candidates, they're sex slaves, they're whatever. And, you know, this is such a evil, horrendous agenda that all of the people involved in this need to be called to the carpet, not only called to the carpet, they need to be tried and punished to the full extent of the law. So I appreciate your comment. Here's a comment, page 103. More facts. That's what's great about she's got all the facts. They learned from 1973 swine flu vaccinations when medical firms had to pay great compensations for damage, paralysis, etc. It was Kathleen Sebelius, Secretary of HHS, Health and Human Services, who granted drug companies immunity as a result of receiving the vaccine. Okay, so that's the way it is now. They are immune from prosecution for the effects of their vaccines, the ill effects. However, CBS News revealed on September 9, 2010, that the family of Hannah Poling received $1.5 million compensation in the first ever court case about vaccine autism. And then she gives some more facts. Finland was the first country in the world in August 2010 to stop swine flu vaccinations due to several cases of narcolepsy in children after the vaccination. Even then, WHO tried to press authorities to continue vaccinations? Of course, this is a depopulation agenda. Then she says, not only are the contents of swine flu vaccines dubious, but also the adjuvants added to it, mercury, aluminum, squalene, which was responsible for the Gulf War syndrome, which incapacitated and killed something like 250,000 American soldiers. The American soldier has been one of the chief guinea pigs over the years of the United States government medical abuse and testing. Then she goes on with this list of ingredients in the swine flu: formaldehyde, animal tissues, horse blood, rabbit brain, dog kidney, chicken embryo, porcine pancreatic, hydrolysate, casein, C-A-S-E-I-N, for Jews and Muslims also, she says, bovine serum, human diploid cells from human aborted fetal tissues, that's definitely in the COVID, phenoxethanol, cow blood, polysorbate 80, which when injected is a sterilizing agent, vero cells, etc. The contents of H1N1 vaccine may cause many different illnesses, which may be visible later in life. Of course, different people react differently to vaccines. Among possible after effects later in life are listed liver and kidney disease, urinary tract, intestine and heart trouble, cancer, chronic bronchitis, eye irritation, neurological, psychological, and immunological problems. neurotoxical by-effects, infertility, autism, nervous system problems like post-vaccinal encephalitis, hallucinations, memory loss, concentration problems. Also, Alzheimer's and senility are linked to the flu vaccine. And then she says, the worst, of course, is the microchips in the vaccine, which was the main reason for the swine flu hoax hysteria, to get everyone to take the vaccine to be placed under total control with microchipping of their actions, feelings, moods, lifespan by supercomputers and unethical intelligence services. Okay, here's where the direct connection with the quote-unquote gang stalking, electronic surveillance, electronic torture comes in, because this is they have been able to track and torture and target individuals with microchips since the 50s and 60s. And we can, I think, now say with virtual certainty that the targeted individuals, quote unquote, who, of course, the governments have denied that they've done this, the targeted individuals have been the beta test for this system which they're rolling out now, which is a total control system which converts a human being to a cybernetic organism or a cyborg. Cybernetic means a combination of humans and machines, which then can be controlled remotely through electromagnetic frequencies and hooked up to the Pentagon cloud, etc. So it would appear that this is the main cause for this multiple series of vaccinations, quote-unquote, and boosters, quote-unquote, to make a operating system in the human being, which can then be controlled remotely, electronically. Would you like to jump in there, Andy?
Well, yeah, it's just all interesting stuff, as I say, folks, because this is all relating to plans that they had in the past, and they're exactly what we're seeing now. So I feel embarrassed personally that I never saw this coming. You know, I thought that they were just going to continue the program of the mass migration, the promotion of people to have children outside of their race so they can basically get rid of white people over a period of time. But obviously they've lost their patience, and this is their solution. And the other thing that I would raise is, if they seem to be targeting these Western countries, we don't hear a lot about things going on in Africa or South America or things like that, but it's countries like Australia and Austria and Holland and all these America and the UK, all these different mandates they're bringing in, because the point is that they're not bothered if they wipe out everyone in those countries, provided they get their target. And then they can say, well, it wasn't targeting white people because it killed other people in those countries that weren't white. But of course, they've got an abundance of people in Africa, in Asian countries, in South America that they can bring in, where we don't seem to be seeing the same level of assault on the population. You know, Austria mandating a vaccine, different things like that. So they've got plausible deniability that they were going for these people. But as you have always seen, they're never worried about a lack of diversity in Africa. They don't say that Nigeria hasn't got enough white people, so we need to encourage white people to move there. They don't say that, you know, Peru doesn't have enough white people, we need to get white people to move there, or China or India or what have you. But it's always in white, formerly white countries, because they are formerly white countries, because they've been at this for decades. And if you look at the 1965 Hart-Celler Act, that also in the UK you had the Race Relations Act in the same year, and in both Canada and Australia you had similar acts that I don't have the names of, again in 1965. So this has been in the planning stages for over 50 years, and they've been targeting white people. And I think that what they're going to do is to try and get this into people, and then once it's done its job, then they can bring in other people, and they don't have to have the worry of the white race anymore, which they clearly hate when you see in their media. I mean, only last week I reported on a story where the police in the UK are investigating because someone put up a sign saying it's okay to be white. Well, if that's a crime, then obviously it's not okay to be white. And so obviously you're being targeted. So again, and these people are in the pockets of, it's just amazing to me how, you know, you can see it, I can see it, Eric can see it, but so many people can't see it. And this is why they're getting away with it. And I think this is why it says clearly in the Bible that, you know, Jesus Christ had to return sooner than he planned. Otherwise, no flesh would be saved, because we know the flesh that he's talking about, and it's the very flesh that they're trying to eliminate. Back to you, Eric.
Yeah. It's you said 50 years in the planning, and that's absolutely true. And you're going to be confirmed here in this next paragraph I read. She says the depopulation program and sterilization program is supported by Henry Kissinger and Bill Gates, and it continues through vaccinations. And then she says, what kind of new emergency is being planned when the swine flu hoax vaccination failed with the plan to diminish the population? Time will tell, but it was interesting that already in June 1996, the U.S. Air Force published a study, Air Force 25, describing the emergency of deadly influenza pandemic emerging in 2009 as a possible future scenario, quote unquote, in a conflict setting. You see, all this is unconventional warfare. All this is backed by our military and intelligence services. Alas, and she documents this quite well. Everything is well planned long in advance. I saw a video showing a huge plastic coffins for a 500,000 people in the open air in the Arizona desert, and also in Georgia waiting for, quote, swine flu bodies. Well, that sounds familiar, huh, with the COVID. The area was owned by the CDC, Center for Disease Control. In UK, the mass media created hysteria by declaring the graveyards will be so full that they cannot take more bodies. The Internet Notepad Publishing, a nonprofit news agency based in Switzerland, reported that China had shot down a CIA-operated aerial spraying plane carrying, quote, mutated virus. Well, that's actually not hard to believe. In the Ukraine, a sticky gel consisting of red blood cells mixed with biological agents was detected from chemtrails from airplanes. And while swine flu hysteria was at its peak, Ukraine was reporting 5,000 cases of illness, which resembled bubonic plague, which resembled the bubonic plague in the lungs, with boils, which they wrongly called swine flu, to scare people to take the vaccine. With false pandemic level 6, the U.S. has moved from civil law to military law. Refusing WHO-mandated vaccines has been criminalized under pretext related to public emergency. And this is what I'm really worried about now. If they pull out some of these old laws that say you're criminal if you're not yet vaccinated. Police can use deadly force, even shoot and take you to prison, FEMA camps, of which there were 800 some when she wrote this. Travel can be restricted. These were the plans, which have not succeeded since people have woken up to see the disinformation WHO is spreading under orders from the New World Order and Big Pharma. WHO changed the rules for a worldwide pandemic 6? Suddenly WHO informed, World Health Organization, informed that a great health danger can be declared when a disease spreads over a country's border, for example, thus only affecting two countries. And in the USA, people who already had had swine flu were told to take the vaccine even if they already had immunity to swine flu. That again shows the real reason behind the vaccine, microchipping the whole population for total control and depopulation plans. And here's the 50-year confirmation. Already in a memo in 1972, WHO developed a method to use vaccines to eliminate people in three steps, which were described in the memo. 1, to weaken the immune system. 2, to inject a huge dose of virus into the body, which the weakened immune system cannot fight. 3, inject adjuvants, I guess that's other materials, that will create an inflammatory reaction and a cytokine storm. We're hearing a lot about that with the COVID. A cytokine storm, and so get rid of people in three steps. And then she goes on, and I think that's pretty important information, because this WHO document, this memo, actually shows the long-term plan to use vaccines to eliminate people and how to do it. Today, 200 vaccines are in development for what? Depopulation program. Bill Gates finances nanovaccines absorbed through sweat through the skin. They are sprayed, so the whole nation is vulnerable. It takes only 3 days to spray all of Europe with chemicals from the planes. So you see, this is a very, very long-term plan. In fact, back in the Bush administration, that one of the neocons with the dual citizenship, of course, Scooter Libby, was called the bird flu man, because he was always promoting that we need to go right to this solution. You know, so this solution, of course, is depopulation. whose Dr. K. Fukada claims that because of possible mutations of swine flu virus into a hybrid bird flu virus, level 6 pandemic is kept for 2 more years. It is total rubbish. If any new hybrid virus will emerge, think of, what are we getting now? What do they call these variants? If any new hybrid virus will emerge, the current vaccine is useless. But maybe now WHO waits for another chance to implement another vaccine program. Yes. A final meltdown of Europe, a false flag terrorist attack, a cyber attack or war against Iran could create a turmoil to start a new false vaccination campaign to benefit Big Pharma, diminish world population, and get the rest who were not vaccinated yet with a microchip, also under total computer control, usually steered by intelligence services. CIA, MI6, Mossad, the New World Order, the UN, they run the world, you know, and this is who's behind us. Back to you for comment, Andy.
Well, you mentioned FEMA camps. Now, these have been around since the 90s, at least, okay?
85, Oliver North rolled out under, this is the very, very corrupt Reagan-Bush administration, and he developed, of course, he was the big Iran-Contra, one of the Iran-Contra scandal figures, a total, you know, liar, criminal. But he's the guy under whom they developed FEMA in 1984, which was the new federal emergency military authority. And that was in case the Americans got out of line, they would be able to put these quote-unquote, whatever, constitutionalist dissidents, Christians, whatever, in these camps for internment. And that's when this started, 1984. And this also was a continuation and an adaptation of the Operation Garden Plot plans for martial law imposition. So, and we've talked about that, I think, or I've got articles about this, a whole series of events and laws since 1964, Operation Garden Plot, to impose martial law on the nation. And in that point, then, of course, round people up and take them to concentration camps. But I'm sorry, Andy, I interrupted. Go ahead. Yeah,
Important information, yeah. Because Rick Adams, who sadly passed away earlier this year, I know that you were on with him before, Eric. He had a guest who was his right-hand man, Art from Philly, and he made a comment in an August 2018 show, and the caller called up about it the following week. These both took place in August of 2018. Have a listen first to what he had to say. These both come in together at less than 2 minutes, so here we go.
It tells you something. It tells you who are the haters. Well, the haters are them who hate the truth.
Right. And that's how me and you got together. Was basically I was registered a hate criminal with the Anti-Defamation League for pointing out their program, No Place for Hate, by the ADL is nothing but a front for the Braffman crime family, part of the Chicago outfit. And for me pointing that out in Abington Township, hometown to none other than the Blackstone Group, Stephen Schwarzman, who took over the banking system, the legacy going all the way back to Jacob Schiff. And we're pointing that out. They called me up and says, you're now in the national database of the Anti-Defamation League. Then the commissioner actually was a sponsor of the program, screamed at me when I brought up the issue in a township meeting. And he says, you're going to be one of the first ones who's going into the camps when we get control. All right?
So I had to talk to you know, somebody would say that was just some casual observer. So that was just an emotion. He really didn't mean that they have the kind of power to want to do that. You know, I mean, you're just misinterpreted. They're really nice people once you get to know them.
Right. They're really nice people. Yeah, I mean, go look at the West Bank in Gaza and see what nice people they really are, okay?
And now we'll just play clip two, and then I'll bring Eric back. This was a week later, again in August of 2018.
Can Art take us out with his story of how he's going to be one of the first to get locked up? Please tell us that story again, Art, please.
Almost out of time. Go ahead, Art.
Okay, at Edmonton, Pennsylvania, I addressed the issue that they had the No Place for Hate program sponsored by the Anti-Defamation League. As a result of pointing it out to the Edmonton commissioners, they basically had the they called up the ADL, which told me, says, we're putting you in a national database, and you're now registered as a hate criminal. Commissioner Wachter, who was part of Benaiah Breath, then said to me, says, that you'll be one of the first ones to be locked up when we get full control.
There you go. So that gives you an idea of, this is according to Art from Philly, what he was told, the camps were for. And that echoes what you just said, Eric, about it was for people that challenged the system, dissidents, constitutionalists, etc.
Well, and not only that, Andy, but there's a one of my favorite commentators now is this extremely intelligent reporter, independent reporter named Whitney Webb, who's quite young, but manages to dig into to stories. I think we might have mentioned her before, but she's actually in one of her podcasts with Last American Vagabond with Ryan Christian. She shows a clip, a video clip of a Senate or a House hearing about these emergencies that are they're planning for, and of course will create. And they're talking also. They have high people in Department of Homeland Security and FEMA there, and the woman who was in charge, can't remember her name right now, fairly good looking young woman, said that they have partnerships with the ADL to help them identify terrorists, and that there are other Jewish organizations in Minnesota, and they gave the name of it, I can't remember, and these partnerships are working. She says they tell us the names of these terrorists, and then we can put them on the list and we can go after them, Now, how obvious can you get? Yeah. I mean, our terrorism watch list is being dictated by these private groups with a decided agenda for one particular group that we often associate with the Synagogue of Satan. So
also, don't forget the social media. It's these same people. Oh, we at YouTube, we've engaged with the ADL. We at Facebook, we've engaged with the ADL. We at Twitter, we've engaged. They're going to be the people that are responsible for telling us who can and can't be on our platform.
Absolutely, and whose websites are blocked and whose websites are featured. So they play the role of censor themselves. But going back to our, I really appreciate us throwing out these dates because it helps give a sense of the history of these plans. And here's what Ronnie Kilda says after just kind of continuing where I left off. Maybe because the Internet gives a lot of good information, which the corporate-controlled media is silent about, President Obama declared the state emergency in the United States of America on October 23rd, 2009, for a swine flu pandemic, taking the U.S. to the brink of martial law. Okay, so they've got all these different sectors of our society on board with this plan. A hoax it was, but because the emergency executive presidential order he now has the right and possibility to shut down all private computers. Okay, so in other words, they used the previous hoax to set in a series of laws that give them total control. Thus, information would disappear and only corporate media disinformation would remain for the masses. At the same time, the Massachusetts law in pandemic allowed police to force into homes to give vaccinations. Of course, this is a coup d'etat forming basis for the New World Order. Of course, that's what it is. This book, which was published posthumously, in other words, she basically gave her notes to be published. Nobody would publish it for a while, and then a publisher in Canada, who is from Poland, named Bogan something with a ski on the end of it. Sorry, I can't get. Maybe I can. Maybe I can do a better job than that. Just a second here. Give the man his due. His courageous thing to publish this book. Yeah, Bogan Zuzik, S-Z-E-W-C-Z-Y-K, Bodan Zuzik, and I believe he sells them from his own home, too. He published this thing, but again, English was his second language, so, apologies to Bogan. This is very poorly edited, but tremendous information, the best single source I've found on the quote-unquote gang stalking, mind control, electronic medical abuse yet. And again, coming from Dr. Ronnie Kilda, extremely bright woman who underwent this kind of personal torture for 40 years before being murdered by these weapons. I mean, this is a crime against humanity. It has been swept under the rug. It is being swept under the rug by all the governments that are participating. And again, it's up to us. We're on our own here to educate each other. The mainstream media is not going to touch this. And I think this targeting program is all very much part of the New World Order, basically a mopping up exercise to get rid of individuals that they find problematic, as well as to use these individuals for medical testing, non-consensually, of course, as well as testing their directed energy weapons and neuroweapons, and a whole host of other reasons. There's many motives for mind control, and among them are voyeurism and entertainment. They have total surveillance. They can turn into a peep show. Let's see what he does now. You know, it's like poking an amoeba in under a microscope. You know, let's harass, torture this person and our rich psychopaths, the billionaires or whatever, would maybe pay per view to watch people being tortured. I mean, this is how sick and degenerate and desperately depraved our ruling elite is. And our governments, of course, could choose to protect us. The laws, most of the laws are in place, although there are not any good laws that protect against mind control. And the mind has no firewall, or the brain has no firewall. So information can get in and come out based, carried on electromagnetic frequencies. And the military has been doing this again since the 50s. Here's what she says, medical abuse. Already in 1952, CIA Project Moonstruck used electronic implants in brain or teeth inserted during surgery or abduction. The purpose was tracking, mind and behavior control, conditioning, programming, and covert operations. Targeting was long range, in other words, over many decades. However, already in 1874, in the Good Samaritan Hospital in Ohio, the first electrodes were placed into the brain of a woman who later died in Sweden in 1948. And then she goes on, why are doctors performing unethical operations, using innocent people as guinea pigs for their research? False lust for fame, financial gain, desire to be remembered in medical history may be some of the motives. And then she goes on and talks a little bit about Dr. Ewan Cameron that we talked about. But I think the people need to realize on, you know, somehow or another, the propaganda has kept reinforcing this idea, Andy, that the most trusted members of our society are doctors and military people, and the FBI, certainly very trustworthy. You know, I mean, this is the propaganda. But these are the people that are attacking us. These are the people that are profiting from our misery and our deaths, and, of course, along with Big Pharma. So since World War II, we've seen this nexus of intelligence services like the CIA, et cetera, and top scientists and medical people in order to gain control over human organisms. I mean, this isn't a dream for intelligence agencies to get other people to do their dirty work, and they just sit back and beam signals into their brains and tell them to kill this person or that person like a Manchurian candidate, or train this person like Susan Ford, Bryce Taylor, to be a sex slave and then also have developed perfect photographic memory in her brain so that she will go and have sex with these various world leaders or presidents or whatever, deliver messages, read files, bring them back to their controller, the Council of 13 and Henry Kissinger or whatever. And she identifies these people in her book, Thanks for the Memories. We have a horrific criminal syndicate in control of this planet, and we are now uncovering their methods, their motives, and the crimes. And it's war, and it has been war. Now it's coming to the surface. you know, Henry Kissinger, George Soros, Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, all these, you know, billionaires, they want us gone. Well, our survival instinct needs to kick in, don't you think, Andy? You know, our ancestors survived saber-toothed tigers and all kinds of things, you know, woolly mammoths. Can we survive this group of rich psychopathic billionaires and their many pathetic scientific and intelligence lackeys?
I think that we can if we, you know, they don't like it. They keep trying to shut people down left, right and centre, so we do have an effect. But what I'm going to close out with, because I really want to get this in, because it is important. Try and find this online, folks. It's I've got it marked up as 2009 Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, Secret Societies Part 6. And the video I've got has got all these Korean subtitles on. That's the best I could do. But what you can do is you can go to Wikipedia page of the episode guide to this series, Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, and you won't find any details of what this woman says in this episode here. So I'm going to mute Eric and I, and I'm going to play this, then get Eric's comments, and then we'll close out the show. This is about 7 minutes, folks. Here we go.
They will induce a pandemic using the nasal mist vaccine, which is a live attenuated virus. That means that if I take it, I can infect you. You're going to get the flu. Everybody around us is going to get the flu. Then the United States government, based on their statements that they've already made, will say, oh my, we have a pandemic. Oh my goodness, we don't have enough doses. So we'll admix squalene at the 90,000 injection stations that the Department of Health and Human Services announced that they will ship the vaccines to.
People lining up, sometimes by the hundreds, for an H1N1 flu shot.
What that means is a holocaust, a genocidal holocaust. Men and women will sicken and die, and those who survive will be infertile.
If people start dying massively from these inoculations, won't there be like a revolution, a rebellion, a rising up from the peasants?
Briefly, until the 420,000 U.S. military swing into action. If you remember, NORTHCOM, the Northern Command, was created not long ago to, among other things, relocate the population in the event of civil disorder or pandemics.
Doctor, what you're saying is that if people refuse these vaccinations, that FEMA's going to put them into almost like concentration camps around the country?
I think you have to leave out the word almost.
Doctor, how can you say this stuff?
Let me tell you a story. In 2003, I had a patient in my drug-free medical practice who was a head of state. And one day she said, you know, it's almost time for the great culling to begin.
The what?
That's what I said. The what? She said the great culling, C-U-L-L-I-N-G, when you thin the herd. I said, what are you talking about? She said, it's almost time for the useless eaters to be culled. And she said, those are the people who are consuming our non-renewable natural resources. I said, who are the people who make
the
this decision?
Few.
She said, we, the aristocrats.
This person you talk to, you're bound because you're a physician and there's the relationship that you can't talk. Is this person a member of the Bilderbergs?
She is not Queen Beatrice. She is not the Queen of England. She is not Henry Kissinger. But she certainly presented herself as a member of that power elite, and she certainly was a head of state. Now, the Bilderbergers are much talked about at this point. I said, who's behind this? And she said, well, you've heard of the Bilderbergers, of course. I said, are they the people at the top? She said, no.
The investigation is about to move into uncharted territory.
Doctor, we're talking about some wild stuff here, extinguishing 90% of the world's population. Now, what you're saying to me is the Bilderbergs are not the top echelon, that there's somebody above them?
According to what I was told by this woman, there's a council of seven men, and they make long-term decisions about what they want to see happen, which country rises, which country falls, which economies prosper. And okay, it's really important to understand that these people have no affiliation to a religion, no affiliation to a nation, no affiliation to a political party.
They're rogues.
They are acting according to their own rules, and their rules are not the ones that the institutions we believe in adhere to.
And you're saying these people mean genocide?
The swine flu is one catalyst. Remember, if you're a genocidalist, you have to work really hard to kill 6 billion people. As a military person, somebody trained as a SEAL, you know that the SEALs might be able to carry out the job, but you also had backup and collateral strength.
How powerful are the Bilderbergs or the people above them in the world?
Not as powerful as we, the people, in the aggregate are. When we raise our voices, every single time they step back. The problem is, the dirty little secret is that we have that power. They don't want us to know that we have that power.
Her warning delivered. Dr. Lebo heads back to her hideaway in the mountains of Panama. Her message is clear. It's up to everyone else to decide what to do with her information.
Well, there you go. Pretty powerful. Eric, your final comments, and then we'll close out the show.
Yeah, well, thanks, Andy. Yeah, this is Dr. Rima Lebo, and her husband is a very highly placed general who has worked with the mind control aspects, you know, real insider. So she's a real insider. And she's very well spoken, and I think she pretty much nails it there. And of course, what was this, 2009? Just about the time that Dr. Ronnie Kilda is talking about when the H1N1 swine flu was being rolled out as a trial run, with virtually all of the elements of the present COVID, including, you know, which laws are placed so that they can get this martial law roundup going and reduce the population. So it is, you know, it is a horrendous evil that we're talking about, and yet we must talk about it. We must be as aware as we can. We must be, I think, as spiritually prepared as we can be, because I think there's great strength there. You know, if God is behind us, who can be against us? I don't think God wants to see his best and brightest creation go down to an extinction level event, ELE or whatever. I think, of course, Jesus is supposed to come back to save the remnant. But meanwhile, of course, we have to do the best we can to spread the word, to help each other to survive, to realize that our governments have been hijacked, that they are occupied. We have a Zog, you might call it, Zionist occupied government. Have for a long time, certainly since the Kennedy assassination, according to Dr. Lorraine Day. So we need to know who our enemy is. It's maybe not the government per se, it's the people in control of the government who can and should be replaced, should be eliminated or whatever, tried and punished accordingly to their crimes. We have to maintain a level head. We have to maintain our humanity and our charity with others. At the same time, we discern, I think, where the real problem is. So many people, of course, are swept up with the narratives, the false narratives, and are going to be playing roles where they actually hurt each other, kill each other for the elite. That's very tragic. Those would be the useful idiots that Lenin talked about. But let's not be among them, and let's try to educate our neighbors so that we can all respond as best we can to this horrendous series of developments. But thank you so much, Andy, for your tenacity, your commitment, And I think we covered a lot of good stuff on this show.
Yes, thank you so much, Eric. This was an excellent show. Thank you for all the research that you did. I've got a working title for it that may change, Eric, and I will talk about it after the show, The H1N1 Conspiracy to Vaccinate the World and Its Influence Today. I want to thank all of you for listening. Eric and I will be back with you next month. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. Until then, folks, have a wonderful day, and bye for now.